Okay, questions from X, from the five listeners on X. Numero uno, should we respect Jeff Bezos for, quote, earning his wealth if he purchased the Washington Post and implemented DEI at Amazon out of his hate for young white men? It's not as if someone else wouldn't have thought of same-day delivery. What value did he bring to the world? It's a very interesting question, and as always, I do really appreciate people for bringing this stuff up, and let's get into it. So there are the practical values, and then there are the moral values, right? So the practical values are you should keep your word in business because that way it's cheaper for people to do business with you, right? That's not a moral value. It's a practical value in that you could do that if you were a hitman, right? If you were just a killer for hire and so on, right? Then you could be that guy, right? So the practical values are necessary for the moral values to exist. So for instance, I don't agree that the government should be running the roads or education or anything for that matter. So that's fact. Now, do I use government roads? Yes, I do. Do I refuse to do any business with anyone who's ever been in a government school? I don't do that. I don't check that. I don't vet that. I mean, it'd be nice if I could. If I had a choice, I would go with somebody who was homeschooled or even unschooled as opposed to government schools. But I don't put a lot of time, effort, and energy into figuring that stuff out. And of course, here in Canada, the whole homeschool population is very low. So I drive the roads. I do business with people who go to government education. I get my teeth cleaned by a dentist who's been educated by government licensing and is part of a government cartel, as is the case with health, my doctor, and so on, right? So the practical values are things that you do in order to achieve an end that is amoral. And it doesn't mean immoral, it could be moral, but the template could be moral or immoral. So if I tell the truth for practical reasons, then that's not specifically moral. And then I will only tell the truth as long as it is practical. If it becomes impractical to tell the truth, I won't tell the truth. So for instance, if we talk about IQ, ethnicity, gender, blah, 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 well, it is an important truth. I wish it wasn't, but it is. It is an important truth. And the entire purpose of things like cancel culture and so on is to get you and me and others to say, I will not talk about an important truth because it's impractical. So these are practical values. And someone says, I won't steal because I don't want to go to jail. I don't get arrested, blah, blah, blah. Now, that, of course, that standard is not UPB. It's not internally generated. It's certainly not any kind of absolute. It's conditional. It's contingent. And, of course, we can see on occasions when there's looting or there's riots or the police are disabled or on strike or something like that, that people just go wild, right? They go, they rampage, they steal, and so on, right? And they do that because the consequences of immorality have been taken away. Makes sense, right? People who would not steal will take something if they're sure they can get away with it. It's sadly kind of common. Someone says, well, I'm not going to cheat on my wife because it's impractical, right? However, let's say he's alone on a business trip in Thailand and, you know, he's interested, or he goes to the red light district in Holland or something like that, right? Then he could go and cheat on his wife. And I mean, odds are he'll never be found out and so on. And so he might. Now, somebody who is committed to telling the truth for moral reasons it doesn't mean that he's going to tell the truth regardless of consequences, right? This is the Aristotelian mean. We want to tell, as I talked about on the Sam Hyde show, which you should look for on YouTube. It's actually really good. Sorry, I shouldn't sound surprised. But somebody who will tell the truth is going to have practical limits to telling the truth. If there's a big, ugly, mean-looking, face-tattooed, fat guy who comes into the restaurant and you look up and the thought is, wow, that's a really big, fat, ugly, mean-looking, fat guy, would it be true to say it? Yep. Will you say it? Nope. You will not. So most people, and in fact, just about everyone, maybe some autists or whatever, just tell the truth no matter what. But most people have a limit of practical, of consequentiality, let's say, when it comes to telling the truth. I know I do. I would say that I tend a little bit more on the overcourageous side, which is not a virtue, by the way. Oh, I'm so brave. No, it's not a virtue. It is a dash of foolishness. And in many ways, it comes from being forced to lie as a child and not wanting to repeat that as an adult. And I was forced to lie as a child by my mother, by others. And so I have a reaction formation to lying, which is I really want to tell the truth. And if somebody makes me lie or threatens me to lie, then I get a little too punchy on the upswing. So the reason I'm talking about all of this is there is an admiration that we can have for practical values. So for instance, a businessman like Jeff Bezos, for his business to last, for his business to work, he can't be lying all the time. He can't be cheating people. He can't be exploiting people and so on. He's going to want to make sure there is a win-win situation with people as a whole. And if he was to lie, cheat, and steal, his business certainly wouldn't last as long. It certainly wouldn't be worth as much. Everyone thinks, of course, that business people lie, cheat, and steal to get their money. It's not really a very practical way of making money in the long run. It's a pretty bad way of making money in the long run, in fact, because the costs of business just keep going up and up. And the best way to work with people is to keep working with people you've worked with for a while, and you know them, and you know their habits, and you know their strengths and weaknesses, and so on. You see this with a lot of filmmakers will go back to the same actress. And so Scorsese, De Niro, and so on. Right? They'll go back to the same actress because they just know the actress. They work well with the actress. They know the actor's strengths and weaknesses, and they have a good working relationship and so on. And so because of that, it's very productive for them to work together. You can see this with the Alan Parsons project. Eric Wolfson worked with Alan Parsons, and they worked well together. Eric Wolfson, I think, died young. I think related to alcoholism or something like that. He was originally an accountant and was a terrible accountant. And his boss said, if you can do anything other than be an accountant, that's what you should be doing. And so he ended up writing music with Alan Parsons, who was one of the producers, I thought, or maybe the producer for Dark Side of the Moon, obviously a very talented guy. And they did some great albums. And they worked together, right, for their whole lives. Or at least their whole productive lives, I think. So if you have a good working relationship with people, it has to be win-win. Both people have to contribute. So the only way you can have a win-lose relationship that lasts is if one person's a masochist. But all masochists have sadistic tendencies and all sadists have masochistic tendencies. And so it's hard to have any kind of productive working long-term relationship with people who have very asymmetrical mental illnesses like sadism or masochism. So Jeff Bezos has to have practical values in business. Well, there's nothing wrong with having practical values in business. It's actually very important. I mean, the car I drive, the phone I have, the computers I use, the cameras and all that, they're all built by people with a strong commitment to practical values. And this is why companies that have been around a long time tend to be worth more and tend to be more trusted. I mean, can you imagine if McDonald's had been around for, I don't know, however 60, 70 years it's been around, and it was all a big scam for 60, 70, 80 years, just so that, you know, one day they could give you the wrong food or an empty box in the drive-thru, right? And companies that have been around for a long time have, I mean, I think in accounting terms, it's called goodwill or whatever it is. Like, they have a reputation that people know they're not going to go to short-term gains in order to get or fix that reputation. They're not going to go and wreck that reputation for the sake of short-term profit, like some company that's been around for like 100 years, right? They're not going to just toast their reputation for the sake of short-term profit. So Jeff Bezos, and of course, people like Elon Musk and so on, they are very good at practical virtues. Now, a practical virtue is not the same as morality. It is a consistency based upon practicality. So somebody who's a woodworker, a carpenter, could have a practical value called accuracy and reliability, right? So if you ask him to make a cabinet, he's going to make a really good cabinet for a really good price and so on, right? So he's got practical virtues. He measures well, he uses good materials, he measures three times and cuts once, as the saying goes in woodworking and so on. And he's very skilled and he delivers on time and on budget and so on. So these are all things that are practical values. And they're good. They're necessary. They're important. Somebody could be a wife beater and a great engineer. I mean, a typical example would be the famous actor, or at least famous to my generation or generations before, Marlon Brando, who was a very talented actor and a pretty terrible human being. And that's pretty common. I mean, you see people like Robert De Niro. I used to think he was a better actor in the past, but, you know, it's basically just a one-note cliche these days, or has been for many, many years. But, you know, he'll do the generic anti-Trump, blah, 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 and, you know, toe the party line. And, you know, that's the Springsteen thing. Like, that's just what they have to do, right? In order to have a career in the arts, for the most part, you have to be anti-Trump, and that's just the deal. And so, you know, they're just kind of, or John C. Reilly was just talking about, you know, why don't people on the right care about human rights? I mean, they're human beings too. Where's their empathy? These idiots, right? And it's like, okay, so empathy, these idiots, you know, they don't even see the contradiction, and they don't have to. Actors are mostly idiot mimics, right? They're good at mimicking. They don't think. You have to be a kind of empty person in order to be filled with other characters. So those are a practice. You can be very good at being a plumber. You can be very good at being an accountant. And you can be a terrible human being. You can be an immoral, corrupt human being. Now, you can't be corrupt and be good. Like, you can't be a corrupt accountant and be good at being an accountant. Because, you know, if you steal, then you're going to get caught, or you're not going to have a long, good business career, because people will, hey, where's my money and all that, right? So, Jeff Bezos, should we have admiration for his practical virtues? Sure. I mean, obviously, a very skilled businessman and skilled at creating, maintaining, and providing mutual value, right? So he's made a lot of money, which is great. And he's provided a lot of value, which is great. He's also been pretty good for the environment, right? Because in general, it's cheaper to have one truck deliver 10 things than 10 people go to a store. So yeah, I mean, should we admire him morally? I don't know about that one, Chief, right? I'm not saying that this listener says we should, but I don't know that we would admire him morally. And indeed, he cannot be successful in business. And I've got a whole book about this called The God of Atheists that I wrote back in 2000. A great book. You should check it out, freedomain.com/books. But it is impossible to be really good at business and also really moral. It just is. I mean, I don't really need to explain it, right? So, I mean, DEI is sexism and racism, right? Sexism against males, racism against whites and East Asians for reasons we all know. So it is immoral to have hiring quotas and to have racist, sexist policies like DEI. That's immoral. Now, if you are a large corporation, then what are you going to do? Are you going to fight it? If you are running a large corporation and you take on a political battle, and I remember a DEC, Digital Equipment Corporation, was a company that was around and very big back in the day, and they were being pressured to do something pretty negative by the government, and I worked there, and not in any consequential position, to put it mildly, and I put forward the proposition that they should withhold a very powerful computer chip from the military if the government forced them to do this wrong thing. And I was promptly fired. Now, if you are a business leader and you are subject to diversity requirements, if you do not fulfill on the diversity requirements, then you will be harming the company because you will be subject to all kinds of sanctions and fines, and or even worse, from the government. So what will happen is the board will have a review. Like if I was in charge of some big corporation and I said, nope, this DEI stuff is racist and sexist and we're not going to implement it, then of course, immediately what will happen is you're called sexist and racist and people will quit. There'll be a boycott campaign. The government will start assessing, investigating you and assessing levies and fines. And what will happen is you will be fired because, and you may in fact be sued because for people very high up in business, and this isn't true everywhere, and this is not legal advice, this is just my obviously amateur understanding of it, but you have a fiduciary responsibility to protect the value of the company, and particularly, of course, if it's a public company, right? Because people buy shares on the reasonable expectation, or own a portion of the company on the reasonable expectation that you're going to, you know, comply with the law and do the right thing and not take obvious moves that are going to harm the value of the shares. Reasonable levels of compliance with the rules that are. So if you are in charge of a corporation and you decide to say, I'm not doing any DEI, then all kinds of leftist, unholy, hysterical fire will rain down upon the corporation and share prices will crash and people's life savings will be wiped out and pension funds will lose their resources and assets and you will get fired and you will get sued for acting in a way that harms the value of the company, knowing that it's going to harm the value of the company with no particular upside. Like if you say, well, I'm going to take 20% and invest in some big old new business, if that business doesn't work out, that's not necessarily a betrayal of fiduciary responsibility because you took a gamble that was reasonably well researched and it didn't work out. So that's not necessarily the cratering of the fiduciary responsibility. But if you were to say, well, we're not going to implement DEI, we're going to get rid of all the quotas, we're going to go to a raw meritocracy or things like that, or, you know, we're just going to use an IQ test to find the smartest people and we don't even care if they've gone to college, then your company's toast, man. Like, sorry, this is just a reality. Like, you can get mad at it if you want, and I think it's terrible, but it is what is. I mean, if you take over a trucking company and you say, well, we're not going to drive on government roads anymore, then your trucking company's going to go out of business. So as far as Jeff Bezos go, look, the system is not set up by idiots. The system is set up by very intelligent, though I would argue very corrupt people, but they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And if you look at someone like Jeff Bezos, if he were to say, I'm not implementing DEI because it's racist and sexist, which of course it is, then he's continuing to be in charge of Amazon for about another 9 milliseconds, and then he's going to get sued into oblivion. And what has he achieved? Now, of course, I understand that you could say, ah, yes, well, maybe he should throw his resources behind Trump and the Trump administration, who've done a fair amount to challenge DEI and have had it overturned in some manners, although the degree to which that's going to take in the long run still remains somewhat undecided. And of course, it could just be slammed back in by the next leftist administration, which is, of course, going to come along, sooner or later. So if you want to get mad at Jeff Bezos and say he shouldn't have implemented these mandated policies, okay, well, then what? So then he gets fired, he gets sued, he loses all of his fortune, no one will ever hire him again, and the Amazon board simply replaces Jeff Bezos with someone who's going to implement DEI. Like, do you understand how this stuff works, right? This is not, there's no going out in a blaze of glory and getting your will done. Now, again, I understand he bought the Washington Post, the very left, and so on. And I don't know what his particular political beliefs are. But if you want to get ahead in the American business landscape, it's kind of tough to not be on the left. Because everybody makes mistakes when it comes to the law. And leftists get a giant stack of get-out-of-jail-free cards. I'm not saying that Jeff Bezos has done anything that would land him in jail. But you get crazy scrutiny if you're on the right. And you get endless free passes if you're on the left. So from a business standpoint, does it make sense? Like, Trump has been audited for his taxes like just about every year, forever and ever. And, you know, he's been investigated and 94 felonies and all of that. They leaked his tax. Returns and so on, right? So there's some people who will take that on. There are. But does it make a lot of sense for the average businessman to be very pro-conservative or very pro-right-wing or something like that? Does it make much sense if the inevitable consequence of that is you don't get government contracts, you get investigated, you get audited, and so on, and people don't want to come and work for you because you're some crazy right-wing fascist, blah, 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 blah. He enjoys business. He enjoys providing value. He enjoys building a big company, and he is incredibly skilled at it. You know, it comes down to you. Do you blame the player or do you blame the game? He is attempting to navigate and has done so with great success. He is navigating a system that he did not design, that you did not design, that I did not design, that was designed by very intelligent people to have constant traps to honesty and integrity, right? It's a well set up system. I mean, if it wasn't, it wouldn't keep doing all of this corrupt stuff. So he has incredible practical values or virtues, and they are deeply at odds with objective moral virtues. But of course, if everyone pursued the objective moral virtues, we wouldn't have this kind of system. And we do have this kind of system, and people just have to find a way to navigate within it. So you can get mad at Jeff Bezos, which is, honestly, if I say getting mad at Jeff Bezos is cowardly. What you need to do, if you want to be honorable, is if there are people in your life who support all of this woke, sexist, racist garbage, especially the anti-white, anti-male garbage, you need to call them out. See, you can't do anything about the laws, really. You can't do anything about Jeff Bezos, but you can do some things about the people in your life who are dedicated to these kinds of horrific corruptions. You can do something about them, which is you can call them out, you can call them wrong, and if they persist in their wretched views, you can ostracize them. I don't have people in my life who support this kind of garbage. I would consider it shameful and dishonorable to have people in my life who support this kind of garbage. I think it's wretched and horrible. And if you really want to strike a blow against racism and sexism, then ask the people in your life if they support racism and sexism. And if they do, you know, make the case, make the recent arguments and so on. And if they persist, well, they can fuck right off. They can take a long walk off a short pier. They can fill their boots. They can do whatever. But they certainly can't stick around me. And if you don't want to get rid of sexist, racist woketards in your life, if you don't want to get rid of them, that's fine. Then don't blame Jeff Bezos, because you're not doing it either. All right. I hope that makes sense. Freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Thank you so much, my friends. Bye.